Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
So investigators still working to find the cause of that SPS fire. And also the concern here is the testing. Now they're saying that the drinking water and air quality are safe. Those are the preliminary results that they've come back with as far as the environmental folks. So we've been telling you all week, we actually had township, Montgomery County officials. This affects Philadelphia. So you have health officials and inspectors from Philadelphia. All of those first responders, firefighters, more than 70 crews were on the scene putting out those hot spots. And so the good news here this morning, disaster emergency declared for Abington Township after that huge industrial fire to SPS Technologies. That has been lifted, but they continue now to investigate the scene. So we still don't know what caused that series of explosions. And to the point that all the neighbors say, because this is surrounded by obviously a community, a lot of homes, suburban area. So people said their homes, they thought it was an earthquake of some sort. Their homes were rocked by this.
Are they back to school today and tomorrow?
So most of them are.
I knew that was going to be your first question.
I'm just wondering.
Nick. Nick's like,
hey, when are these kids going back to school?
Yeah, Dawn reports the air's fine, the water's fine. I'm assuming it's fine to sit in a classroom.
I think everybody's, I don't mean to get ahead of you, Dawn, but everybody's back but Jenkintown, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So Jenkintown, though, they are virtual, Nick. You'll be, because Nick is like, I'm here. Start at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Nobody's allowed to have a day off if Kale is working.
In the words of my guy, John Kennedy.
These people are about 10 exits past normal.
So they've worked hard to get everything clear. Business is reopening. So, yes, as Greg said, Jenkintown School District, virtual learning continues today. They do plan, Nick Kale, in person tomorrow.
Okay.
So they start at 7:55 a.m., be there. And then Abington School District, Cheltenham School District, they are back in the classroom this morning. So that's great news. The fire, as far as homeowners coming back into their homes, what they're saying is that it's, this dust, this ash, and this smell, and the smoke, and that affects all those homes surrounding SPS, this industrial fire, a mile-plus radius.
Okay.
So concerns environmentally. No injuries reported. Thank God for that. 60 employees inside also evacuated. And remember, they create, this is industrial, but they create military-grade materials at Lockheed Martin's subsidiary. So that's what's going on here. We do have a most wanted man from our region, most wanted fugitive in the nation, has been captured. They found this guy in Mexico. He's identified as Brian J. Rivers Jr., and he's a most wanted man since 2012. They got this guy in several charges, including sick crimes, against children in Gloucester Township, so South Jersey. So they say they've got their guy. He's in Mexico. Mexico cooperating fully. And so I don't know if it sounds like this is in cooperation with local authorities, federal authorities, U.S. Marshals, but many people saying this is a very, dangerous, violent individual.
13 years on the run.
Yeah.
Wow.
Found him in Mexico. So he's coming on home.
I'm always surprised when people can be on the list of most wanted fugitives for as long as they are. I used to love watching America's Most Wanted with John Walsh back in the day. And it's just amazing to me that some people could be on the go for 10, 15, 20 years, especially with the technology and the resources that we have in this day and age.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's so true. We do have, finally, we've been reporting on this all week, but the SSS United States, finally, it's the vessel is on the move. So this is something that we've seen for many decades along the Delaware River, South Philadelphia, obviously. And, believe it or not, there are some people who've been tracking the movement of the SS United States historic ocean liner begins the journey down the Delaware River out of Philadelphia. And so it's on its way, the SS United States.
And where's
ocean liner?
Where's its destination as it when it got stuck there back in January, right?
Yeah, it got stuck. And then they were even concerned, even as yesterday, it actually got on the move late yesterday, but they were concerned that these things will get stuck under, you know, under a bridge.
And what's the name? I need to see what this thing looks like, because we've talked about this countless times. I need a visual. It's the SS United States?
Yeah, it's, you know, picture like the old ship, like the Titanic, you know, the old ocean liner.
Oh, it's that
the
big.
Old school, huge.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Very majestic, back from back in the day.
It looks like it was pulled up from the bottom of the ocean.
Well, that's where it's going, my friend. So it'll be the world's largest artificial reef in Okaloosa County, Florida. That's what. Now, this was a huge controversy. There were a lot of people who said, "Restore the thing. This is majestic, and bring back the time. Make it what, a hotel, a restaurant, housing?
Yeah.
That would cost a fortune."
Yeah.
So, you know, artificial reef.
Well, it's going to Florida. Maybe Bruno can captain it for the Eagles boat parade. He says he's going to need a bigger boat. Yes, the United States pretty damn big looking.
Oh, my gosh. So down the Delaware River during low tide on its way, and they were afraid about the Walt Whitman Bridge. That was the bridge they were afraid that it was going to hit. So we got that going.
Yeah, we don't need a Baltimore incident here in Philadelphia.
Baltimore. Yeah. No. I know we're going to get to all the Trump news, his little friend Zelensky, all of that, and a lot in the national spotlight, avian bird flu. Some health concerns with avian bird flu, CDC. They're now testing wastewater because of the concerns of that. But seasonal flu continues to make the headlines. Influenza as far as hospitalizations and deaths. So those encouragements to be safe, wash your hands, stay away from people who are coughing and hacking.
Yeah. Stay away from people in general. Yeah. That is my stay away.
Right. Human beings, wretched, awful, disease-ridden dopes.
Wash your hands.
Wash.
Grandma used to say,
we might be the lowest form of life on the planet. The more I think about it.
Where did Dunn brings up a good point. Where did that wash come from? Where did that,
my great-grandma Rose.
No, I know. My grandmother used to say it, too. So is it a generational thing? It's not a, because our families aren't from the same place, Dawn.
Yeah,
so
it's not just like a Philly thing.
It's not a Philly thing or like a outside a Philly thing.
Right. Warsh.
It must be a generational thing. Warsh.
Yeah. Warsh?
Do your warsh.
I don't know.
See, I've never heard do your warsh, but I have heard wash your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't do. I use hand sanitizer.
Yeah. That kind of that accent or that you know, putting that R on it kind of died off after you know, our great grandparents and grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says it anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah.
My grandmothers used to call jeans dungarees.
Dungarees.
Or dungarees, yes.
Dungaroos or dunkaroos.
Yeah, that's what I used to do at daycare.
PJs.
Yeah.
Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Dungaroos.
Yeah.
Well, we were supposed to have this big blizzard today. That's not happening.
Wait a second. I heard, Dawn, online from a failed meteorologist that today was supposed to be a blizzard. And we were going to
stop getting our news from Twitter.
And we were going to get 15 inches and it was going to be. Look, I'm just saying. When I get my meteorology reports from Twitter and a guy who's.
Everybody's like,
I'm just going to stop.
I know exactly who Greg's talking about.
No storm of the century here.
No.
not even a storm of the minute.
Oh, God.
All right.
So here's the good news. I'll put this out here.
Is anybody getting snow today? Like, is there snow anywhere?
Is there any good news, period?
Scattered snow showers?
Okay.
Maybe a dusting.
All right.
A possible dusting. But rather cloudy, cold. The high just 29 degrees for your today. Tomorrow for your Friday, the sun comes out, brighter skies.
Ah, yes.
Yes, 37 degrees.
Heat wave.
Yeah, Joe Conk will be. And in Westchester, Pennsylvania, it will be. It'll be a beautiful, funny place.
Come out and see Dawn Stensland and Nick Kale tomorrow night in Westchester with our good friend who will be here at 7:45, Joe Conklin.
Yes, indeed.
JoeConklin.com for tickets. I don't know if there's any left, but if there are, go to JoeConklin.com and see if you can get them.
That's right.
And then the weekend, Saturday 41, Sunday 46, by Monday 50 degrees, and next Wednesday when we talk to Tony Bruno, it'll be in the mid-50s.
Woohoo!
Not that we'll brag, because he'll be like, it's 80 degrees.
Oh, it's 82 down here, pitchers and catchers.
But the warmer weather is on the way. American Heritage Credit Union, at American Heritage Credit Union, they really can help boost your savings. Choose a 12-month IRA certificate, 4.8%. to 0% annual percentage yield or a 9-month certificate at 4.15%. Just visit AmericanHeritageCU.org, federally insured, NCUA, American Heritage Credit Union. This is Kale & Company Newsline.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:14 Thursday morning, time for another big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Ah, the big take, a war of words. You know, we are closing in on 4 days away from the 3-year mark of Russia invading Ukraine. And as we approach a resolution to the conflict, a verbal war is heating up. And as usual, Donald Trump being vilified and lumped in with Vladimir Putin. And per usual, Vladimir Zelensky, he's the good guy. He's the underdog. So says legacy media Democrats and any American politician, Republican or Democrat, who profits off of the military-industrial complex. But those of us who are America First anti-war machine humans will be glad when the Battle of the Vlads is over. But in the meantime, let's get a whole bunch of facts straight. Putin is absolutely evil. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think Zelensky is an angel. Ukraine, you want to call them the underdog, the lesser of the two evils, the good side? I'm good with all of that. But this did not happen under Trump, but it looks like it will end under Donald Trump. Donald Trump has come out blasting Zelensky, labeling him yesterday on social media as a dictator. The president of Ukraine and the American media already in their feelings over Zelensky's possible limited involvement and role in brokering a peace deal, as Trump and Putin appear to be the ones carrying more stroke in these negotiations. And it's important in any negotiation that you enter to know your role, know what power and leverage you have, and not to overplay your hand. But here's the reality of the situation since this war began almost 3 years ago. It's coming up on the 24th, by the way. Ukraine, under Zelensky, has done the following. They have canceled their election. They've installed Zelensky by martial law. They have imprisoned journalists. They've seized control of TV networks and the media in their country. They've taken property from the opposing political party. And they've outlawed a lot of political dissent that runs contrary to what Zelensky's platform includes. So I ask you the question. Is Donald Trump in the wrong for calling Zelensky a dictator? We held elections in America during multiple wars, the Civil War and World War II. And do you remember when Trump joked about being a dictator for one day only, on day one, and the media told us to be fearful of Trump as a dictator? Well, it appears that Zelensky is what the left tried to claim Trump would be. Putin, the same thing. I hate Putin. If it was up to me, I'd wipe out Putin, Xi, Rocket Man, and Iran's leader, all in a matter of 4 hours. Send in some drones, get rid of all of these animals. But the gig is up for the comedian turned president, who looks like he just rolled out of a dumpster sponsored by Waste Management. Slush funds drying up. Americans are done with it. Let the rest of Europe and Ukraine fight this battle. And I'm not alone in feeling this way. The rest of America has grown tired of America's consistent policing of the world, specifically here in Ukraine. Here's CNN's Harry Enten with the data. Listen and watch.
Holy Toledo. Look at this trend line here. U.S. support for Ukraine is too much. Back when the war began, back in February of 2022, it was just 7%. Up like a rocket ship. My goodness. Up now in February of 2025 to 41%. And the clear majority of Republicans, and of course, Republicans are in charge of the U.S. government now, 62% of Republicans say that the U.S. support for Ukraine is too much. What a difference from just 3 years ago. I can remember, John, all those backyards in the United States with those Ukrainian flags. Far fewer of them today, as Americans' opinions on Ukraine have changed dramatically.
What about opinions of the Ukrainian president?
Right. You know, obviously, if you would expect changes amongst the public on feelings towards Ukraine, feelings towards Zelensky have changed also dramatically. Look at this. Confident Zelensky will do the right thing when it comes to world affairs. Back in 2022, it was the clear majority, 72% through the floor. Through the floor by 2024, just 48% of Americans say that they're confident that Zelensky will do the right thing when it comes to world affairs. And GOP confidence has also plummeted dramatically. Now the clear majority of Republicans are not confident that Zelensky will do the right thing when it comes to world affairs. Really, a real trend line, ones you rarely see in the American public when it comes to Ukraine and Zelensky. Confidence in both going down through.
It's over for Zelensky. And never forget what he did just this past September. The president of Ukraine, in the middle of a war, coming to Pennsylvania, basically campaigning on behalf of the Democrats, Kamala Harris, endorsing her as he toured an ammunition factory right here in Pennsylvania. Phil, if you could, please roll the video of Zelensky and Governor Josh Shapiro, who decided to autograph ammunition. You can see this on YouTube right here. No audio with it, but you can see Zelensky in the background, all 5'6" of them, smiling, having a great time, as Josh throws his John Hancock on a couple of missiles. See, the reality is Donald Trump represents peace, whether it's in the Middle East or elsewhere. Zelensky knows that. Putin knows that. Netanyahu knows that. Arab leaders in Arab nations, they know that. Trump posting the following on social media yesterday saying, quote, "Think of it. A modestly successful comedian, Vladimir Zelensky, talked the United States of America into spending $350 billion to go into a war that couldn't be won, that never had to start, but a war that he, without the U.S. and Trump, will never be able to win. The United States has spent $200 billion more than Europe, and Europe's money is guaranteed, while the United States gets nothing back. Why didn't sleepy Joe Biden demand equalization? In that this war is far more important to Europe than it is to us. We have a big, beautiful ocean of separation. On top of this, Zelensky admits that half of the money we sent him is, quote, missing. It's amazing how money always goes missing. Send in the Doge. He refuses to have elections, is very low in Ukrainian polls, and the only thing he was good at was playing Biden like a fiddle. A dictator without elections, Zelensky better move fast, or he's not going to have a country left. In the meantime, we are successfully negotiating an end to the war with Russia, something that all admit only Trump and the Trump administration can do. Biden never tried, Europe has failed to bring peace, and Zelensky probably wants to keep the gravy train going. I love Ukraine, but Zelensky has done a terrible job. His country is shattered, and millions have unnecessarily died." That was Donald Trump's post on Truth Social yesterday. Here's Mike Waltz, national security advisor for the Trump administration, who had this to say yesterday on Fox News. Listen and watch.
Unpack that a bit. Just not everyone has gotten the message that the era of an endless grinding war with death and destruction on all sides, costing hundreds of billions and costing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives, that era is over. President Trump has been very clear. He intends to bring this war to an end, that all sides need to be bought into that. And that, you know, I think the frustration has really stemmed just in the last week from this bizarre pushback and escalation of rhetoric over a presentation of what we see as an absolute opportunity. And that's to have the United States invest in Ukrainian infrastructure, to have them grow both their minerals, their natural resources, their oil and gas. And I have to tell you, a part of a much bigger pie is certainly better than where it stands today. And then, you know, just as an important subtick to that is that, you know, we look at the type of aid the Europeans are providing, and it's often in the form of loans. It's being repaid with the interest on seized Russian assets. We believe the American taxpayer deserves to recoup much of their investment. All of that's an opportunity for Ukraine. They need to see that for what it is. And instead, we had this kind of escalating rhetoric and pushback, and the president's not going to tolerate it.
How can any American with a functional brain not be on board with that logic right there? If you're anti-war, if you're America first, if you're tired of the wasteful spending, and if you're tired of funding the military-industrial complex, why would you have anything negative to say about America wanting to get out of the involvement and end the war? And of course, every outlet under the sun in America yesterday, front page material on their websites, as well as across the pond, trying to pin Trump down as the bad guy here, running the same playbook back from 2017. Oh, Trump is Putin's buddy. I wonder what's going on between those two, as if we haven't debunked all of the Russia hoax. New York Times, NBC News, Rolling Stone, you can just check all of their websites from yesterday. Once again, though, Trump's words igniting a media meltdown because he called Zelensky a dictator, as his actions, which are to end a war, and specifically America's involvement in said war, are somehow deemed unknowable because you don't like his presentation of it. If you want to know the real reason why the deep state hates Trump, and this is just my opinion, but it's been my opinion for 8 years, the truth behind why the establishment wants him out of office, in prison, or perhaps even dead, is because he's anti-war. And a whole lot of people, Democrat, Republican, male, female, young and old, who are entrenched in Washington, D.C., make a whole lot of cash off of pointless, stupid wars. Cash goes out the door, weaponry out the door, young American soldiers out the door, perhaps not to return. So I say this, to hell with Ukraine, screw Europe, we've done enough, you deal with it. No more dead bodies, and I say that for the dead bodies in Ukraine, for the dead bodies in Russia, much less any American involvement. No more slush funds, no more missing funds, no more billion-dollar bag drops. And if you want to be pro-Ukraine, knock your socks off. I'm not anti-Ukraine. I hate Russia far more than I do Ukraine. But I'm pro-America first and foremost. So the media, the Lindsey Grahams, the Nikki Haleys, the Josh Shapiros, any other slaphead who will try to guilt you into feeling wrong can go take a hike. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in your thoughts, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210 WPHD. And, of course, in the YouTube chat. We'll come back, get some thoughts on that. Also, Tulsi Gabbard makes a really good point about this conflict. You'll hear from her on the other side. And then the big COVID vaccine revelations, courtesy of a new study from Yale University, all still ahead here in the first hour. It's Kale and Company live on a Thursday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Well, I'm going to get your thoughts on this, but I want to just play quickly this clip from Tulsi Gabbard, which I think she made a lot of sense yesterday when talking about the hopeful end to the Russia-Ukraine war and this administration's efforts to get it wrapped up in the first 100 days of Trump's second term. Phil, this is clip K4. Let's hear from Hula Hula.
Here is something that the political establishment and propaganda media don't want you to know. Ukraine's President Zelensky has just banned yet another political opposition party, one that questioned his legitimacy as president, and used Ukraine's Department of Justice to mandate the seizure of this party's members' assets. Now, this is just the latest of Zelensky's actions to do this sort of thing. He began banning major political opposition parties in 2022, when he also started banning TV channels that were associated with his political opponents. And he took over total control of Ukraine's largest television networks, now controlled by their government. Now, Zelensky's presidential term ended on May 20th. He canceled elections in the name of martial law, suspending Ukraine's constitution so that he could stay in power. Now, defenders of Zelensky will say, hey, Ukraine is in the middle of a war. They can't have elections. Just stop for a moment and think, if we accept that excuse or criteria for suspending the Constitution and canceling elections, then we should presume that leaders in our own country and our own establishment media will also use this same excuse and rationale when they suspend our Constitution and our elections, since we too are at war with Russia and China. If you think this sounds crazy, look at what's already going on. They've already started conditioning us to accept a dictatorship by rationalizing their own use of our Department of Justice to target President Trump and other political enemies in their efforts to stay in power.
Dawn, let's get your thoughts. Russia, Ukraine, America, the American media, good guys versus bad guys. Where do you stand on yesterday's debacle after all hell broke loose because Trump called Zelensky a dictator?
Oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. I think that, first of all, we just, in this country, we just want this to be done. As you said, today's February 20th. So on the 24th, 3 years, I think Trump, I think everybody wants to get this done, stop the killing. But I think when, you know, I was trying to think of, well, why when Trump was saying initially that that Ukraine wasn't innocent in this. I think they're going all the way back to, I don't know, was it 2014 and the Minsk. Like, I like mink from Russia, you know, but these are the Minsk.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Minsk II.
Yeah, you throw that S in there, it changes things.
It changes it all.
Exactly.
But in essence, Ukraine was saying that, you know, they would have this truce and the Western powers are in on it. And so then though Ukraine was accused of using that as an opportunity so they'd have a little more time to go in with the Donbass republics, and you can go back to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have friends who are on both sides, have ancestry and family in Russia and ones from Ukraine. And we have a huge population here, obviously, with the Ukrainian community, a lot of connection. And remember even when on Rocky, on the art museum steps, and they put the Ukrainian flag
mm-hmm.
on, you know, on Rocky. And so the bottom line with all of this, without getting into all of the history and who's at fault, this and that, I think part of this is that Zelensky is not popular right now in Ukraine.
No.
And so
Based on what polling. You say that?
Excuse me, the popularity polls.
What polling? For the 4% that Trump said?
No,
that's not true.
Harry Enten said it in the clip on CNN. He's gone down in polling in his country as well. He's not Trudeau. He's not like single digits, but I would guess he's probably well under 50%, approaching Biden territory, mid-30s, if I had to guess. I'm sure we could look it up real quick, what his polling numbers are.
I'm just going by people in this area who have family over there. And I'm honestly, you know, I know that they've said that, Greg, and I know that that's a tactic and there's all propaganda on all sides. But, you know, I think that what Trump is trying to do is I think that he believes, because he gets...
What does he get out of calling Zelensky a dictator? I'm not saying Zelensky is a dictator or not a dictator. Nobody knows, because nobody knows Ukrainian politics. Everybody just thinks they do. So I have no idea if he's a dictator or not.
And that's why
we know Vladimir Putin is.
And that's why I made fun of myself with the minx and the minsk and all that. I'm not a historian. I'm not an expert. Truthfully, Michael, he could come in here and tell you the whole thing and lay it all out for you. But the bottom line on this is that I think that that Trump, first and foremost, the money and the power that has been going on, and the fact that they were having this huge war, and every time you turned around, Zelensky is coming to this country and getting more, not just, you know, millions.
Constant handouts.
Billions.
With no strings attached.
Agreed.
No payback.
Yep.
No interest.
Yep.
Europe is actually smart. They're saying, hey, we'll give you $1 billion, but you're going to give us $1.1 billion back with interest.
Loans. We give them grants.
Biden was his sugar daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're out here giving out full ride war scholarships.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying, I have no idea what the Ukrainian people, and nobody does, you know, polling is BS. But I'm not saying he's a good guy. I have no idea.
I mean, it's not a democracy.
But
I mean, he's certainly the lesser of two evils.
I'm just not sure what it helps to sit here and call if the objection is peace, or the objection is some sort of a deal reach,
sure,
which everybody wants. I do think Trump can get it done because of his relationship with Putin. But calling Zelensky a dictator is not helping.
I don't even know that it's about the relationship with Putin. It's, again, like what I said, when you go to a negotiation table when there's two parties, three parties, or 10 parties involved, you better know what type of leverage you have. And if you don't have any leverage, you've got no bargaining power. You've got no negotiation skills. You've got no chips at the poker table. You ever play poker with somebody that's got a huge stack and they bully the table because they have all the money and you're sitting there with $9 and he's got $300? That guy dictates the table. That's Zelensky. Without America's help the last 3 years and 300 or 3 years and hundreds of billions of dollars, Russia would have smushed Ukraine like a grape under a Timberland boot.
I want exactly what you two want. I want this thing to end. I don't want the U.S. to be involved in it. This is not our deal. But how does it end? Like, we can't just, I mean, remember Ronald Reagan in the 80s saying, you know, I will not allow Russia to take one more inch of Europe?
Yep.
So how does this end without Vladimir Putin winning in some way?
No, you know what I mean? I think it's a negotiation. I think it's a negotiation. I just think with Zelensky, I think that he just neutered him. That's just it. He just snipped him.
Zelensky has no power. He has no negotiating power whatsoever.
I think that he perhaps could has enough of a grip on power that I think he has enough where they are fed up with him.
Yeah.
I think they were putting him in his place to say, shut it.
Yeah.
Let us get this done, because he kept whining. He was whining to all the Europeans. For a week, he's been whining.
And I don't want to see Zelensky get bullied and Ukraine get steamrolled by Russia. I am far more pro Ukraine than Russia, just like I am far more pro Israel than Hamas. But I'll just say this now, I'm also done with the Middle East. They've been fighting this battle forever. And I know the Jews are the good side and Hamas is the evil side. But I want us out of there as well.
Swami Mommy says Zelensky is a leech. Okay, maybe. But Putin is a bad guy. He kills his opponents. He kills, he's a dictator. He's actually a dictator.
And nobody in the world is disagreeing with you, Greg. But the problem here is Zelensky is jumping up and down for, what, a week now? Almost a week. Complaining about everything that is going on with the negotiations that started with Rubio last week, and now they've been in Riyadh, and it's a delicate situation. And I think they were telling him, yo, shut up, shut it. And finally, they said, take him out, just neuter him.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. When you talk about canceling elections and using martial law to stay in power, and then shutting down media and things like that, those are things, maybe not to the extent of which Putin does as a dictator, because he is pure evil, but those are dictator tendencies and actions. Now, take what Tulsi Gabbard said. Could you imagine what precedent we would be setting here in America when we talk about democracies? If we allow Zelensky to cancel elections during wartime, when we had elections during both the Civil and the World War II, who's to say that with Trump in 2027, think about this hypocrisy. So the mainstream media does not, in America I'm talking about, they don't vilify Zelensky for canceling an election because of war. Could you imagine if Trump ignited a war in 2027 with Iran, canceled an election to stay in power, which the mainstream media says, oh my God, I could see Trump staying around forever and being a king. That's what he wants. He worships and aspires to be these old leaders like Mussolini and Stalin. Now, what would their narrative and message be if Trump did that? They would scream, and I would scream too, because it would be absurd. So you can't have it both ways. You can't give Zelensky a pass for canceling elections during wartime, and then in theory, hypothetically, if Trump did that 2.5 years from now, you know what the headlines would be.
I believe the Ukrainian legislature voted on that. Like, I don't think Zelensky just said no more elections.
No, that's true. He has the ability to impose martial law, which he's done. And I just don't like that. He has the right.
20% of their country was occupied by Russian forces. You think they were thinking about an election?
Probably not. Probably
not. You know what I mean? Like, I understand what everybody's saying. Dawn is right. He's on the front page of every newspaper. I'm just tired of seeing his dumb face. I'm tired of talking about this because it's not our problem. But all I'm saying is that if peace is the goal, which everybody wants, or some sort of an agreement, I just, how are we going about it by calling Zelensky a dictator?
So you
know what I mean?
So you just don't like the verbiage from Trump. You would have preferred more of a diplomatic presidential approach.
I don't care. Don't care, because he could be a dictator. I don't know. But we know Vladimir Putin is one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how this ends without Russia getting some sort of...
They're going to get the better end of the deal.
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And this is such a 180 from where we were in the 1980s. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Zelensky to me comes off as, and I do think it'll come out. There's too much money here that's quote unquote missing. Even though I know some people say, well, in the form of aid, they only give Zelensky so much cash. It's only $70 billion this year. Some of it's military aid. It's only $70 billion. But the bottom line on all of this is that when you have a delicate negotiation and you have people literally at a table, J.D. Vance was over there, and that tells me when you have Marco Rubio. So Trump has people over there. Steve Witkoff was over there.
Yeah.
When he has people who he knows and he trusts, and they're all coming back to him saying, look, we're good. We remember it was late last week, right? Or was it late last week, early this week, where they all got him to the table. They agreed on a basic 4-point plan So they said, oh, thank God, this is, we're on a plan for peace. What does Zelensky do? He throws up his arms and he's having a hissy fit. He's complaining. And I really think that they were telling him repeatedly, stop talking. Just shut it. We've got this.
This needs to be done. This needs to, forget Marco Rubio. This needs to be done by Trump or J.D. Vance or somebody like that.
But they were
Marco Rubio is going to get boat raced by
these people. But they were important. They were greasing the wheels. And then Trump comes in as the closer. That, and they were, everything was going great. No,
Rubio's
he's not.
A P-word. Yes,
he's been doing a good job. Greg, he's been impressive.
Okay.
Look it up. He has been. He's been impressive.
I'm on record saying I do believe that Trump can get a deal done, but it's going to take him or J.D. Vance or somebody like that. It's not going to be Marco
Rubio. J.D. Vance has been right at the table. So you have J.D. Vance reporting back to him saying, that, what is this guy? Well, so what did Trump do? He's like, I'll take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
We'll see how it plays out. 855-839-1210. We've got COVID vaccine information that you're not going to like, courtesy of an Ivy League institution. And also, coming up in hour number two, Elon Musk. My God, dude. Keep it in your trousers. We're back after this here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Those texts are something.
Oof. They are. You know what else is something? Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. I love the work the Chapman family team has done in my home. You know by now, if I needed new windows, doors, siding, I'd only trust the Chapman family team. What you may not know is that Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, well, they also can replace your old roof. Yes, they have that covered too for you. Family owned and operated, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. They've been around for more than 30 years in the community, highly reviewed, highly rated community wards as well. And they really exceed in customer service. They spend the time to understand your needs and educate you on your options. And they also have great financing options available, which can leverage to make sure that your new roof or other remodeling projects are a reality. I know that if you look them up, you're going to see all these different reviews, and maybe you're impressed by the fact that they have more than 240 of those Google reviews online. For me, I'll just be really honest with you, that's fantastic. But I personally, if somebody's coming into my home, I need to know somebody who can say, you can trust these guys. And that's why I'm talking about them, because I've turned to Chapman for many years now. I can tell you they have done beautiful work in my home, windows and doors. Whether you or somebody you know are looking for a new roof, windows, doors, siding, shutters, just give them a call. You can text 610-431-8898. You can visit them online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Look at the before and after photos as well. Don't forget to tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We can get to the Elon Musk stuff. I'll start with some of the polling numbers that just came out this week. The Pew Research Center releasing some polling numbers on both Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. And surprise, surprise, politics be damned, most Americans do not like billionaires. Over half of U.S. adults reported that they have an unfavorable view of Musk, while 42% said they view him positively. Meanwhile, Zuckerberg's unfavorable numbers were far higher at 67%, with only 25% expressing a positive view of the Meta founder. They go on to say 73% of Republicans, along with Republican-leaning independents, said they have a favorable view of Musk, while only 12% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents reported the same. However, with Zuckerberg, 6 in 10 Republicans and 76% of Democrats view him unfavorably. Basically, nobody likes Mark Zuckerberg. This was according to 5,000 adults that were polled from late January to early February, which leads us to these salacious and spicy text messages from Elon Musk, courtesy of Page Six in the New York Post.
So you know they have to be true.
Well, there's at least some screenshots of their public conversations on X.
Yeah, who's this? This woman's Ashley St. Clair.
Ashley St. Clair, which I believe is baby mama 13.
Stop.
Maury Povich says that this one's way above my skis. He's going to sit this one out. And they were having this public conversation in February of 2023 where Musk simply tweeted 420. I would assume, obviously, a reference to marijuana. We've seen Elon Musk getting stoned on the Joe Rogan podcast, to which Ashley St. Clair, half his age, responded 69. Elon Musk and Ashley St. Clair's spicy tweets then apparently got private. And according to some screenshots and some sources, in June, the Elephants Are Not Birds author, who is 26, I guess Ashley St. Clair wrote a book called Elephants Are Not Birds, tweeted a screenshot of an article about Wagner chief Yevgeny Prigozhin telling his troops to, quote, pull back, to which Musk replied, the pull-out method, quote. Specifically, personally, I obviously prefer
the
pull-in method. He's 12. He's a 53-year-old, 12-year-old with umpteen billion dollars, access to anything in the world, and too much time on his hands.
Just to give you the overall... Sorry, Greg.
No, it just shows you guys never change. Sorry.
That's correct.
Not important.
I am 41 going on 19.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. So for just to give you the overview here,
yeah.
He's Elon Musk. He has 13 children that we know of.
Yes.
And so 6 children are with his first wife, Justine Wilson, 3 with ex-girlfriend Grimes, 3 with Neuralink executive,
yeah,
Siobhan Zillis,
mm-hmm,
and then another with Ashley St. Clair, the author who you just referenced.
Got to tell you, Ashley St. Clair doesn't really do much for me. I feel like if you're Elon Musk, you could probably do better. I mean, I don't know that I could get Ashley St. Clair, but if I'm Elon Musk, I shoot for the stars. I mean, he does launch rockets into space.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, I think he should, you know, maybe have greater ambitions than Ashley St. Clair, but good for him. Half his age, you know, points for that, right?
Yeah, no lib says, I don't care how many kids he has, as long as I don't have to pay for them. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he can have as many kids as he wants to.
Yeah. He's not necessarily going to align with conservative family values, is he?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, this started
the
when...
The new GOP doesn't care, by the way. It's
true.
Like
very true.
They've thrown those family values out the window.
For the most part, yeah. I think it's fair stuff.
Well, I don't think that. I just think, like, you be you. I mean...
Just save us money. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean,
about.
As long... But with him, I get... This started because Siobhan Zillis, who has the twins, he was kind of gushing over, I guess, the little cute little twins.
Can relate.
Because she posted a picture of her with her little twins, and what are they like? They're actually about your son's age, Greg. They're are they 3 or 4?
4-year-olds, yeah.
And cutie pie, little boy and girl twins. So then he was like gushing over that, but then some people were saying it was cold-hearted.
Mm.
I don't know.
All right. Well, there you go. Elon Musk. Shoot or shoot, right?
This broad's trying to hold him up for some cash, right?
I mean,
she's she wants... Like, he agreed, like, I think she's welled up in some beautiful penthouse in Midtown Manhattan, but she wants more.
Yeah.
Mo, right?
That's right. Keep going, man.
So she just had baby 13, and I guess that she had, they hadn't completed their agreement to recognize and care for the baby boy.
Mm.
So St. Clair is 26. He's what, 50?
53.
Early 50s.
Yeah.
And so I guess St. Clair was upset because she doesn't have her, you know, baby mama crib all, like, she, you know what I mean? She wants the cake.
She hasn't been accessorized
yet. She wants the cake.
Yeah, she needs it all.
She does.
She's a capitalist.
You know?
I mean, you could say capitalist or you could say another word.
Gold digger. There you go. 855.
But I think the truth is, he'll take care of her.
Oh, of course he will. Oh, 100% he will. 100% he will.
You can buy Twitter. You can take care of anybody.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I'd have his baby if I was...
I would... God's honest truth, for $22 billion, I'll sleep with Elon Musk. I'll take one for the team.
There's always a price.
I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I will take one for the team. And my wife would sign off on it. She'd go.
She said, go stay for a week.
That's right. Nick had Elon's baby.
That's right. 855-839-1210. We'll come
back.
Let's get
Kristen on the line.
No, let's not. Let's not. I come to work to get away from the house.
Oh, boy.
Not to continue that life.
All right.
News on the way, as well as this COVID mRNA vaccine update, courtesy of scientists from Yale. And it's not good. Back after this, hour two on the way.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.